You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America. Get on board.
John and Mary Q. America.
Let's go.
Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson on 1030, The Voice, local news and talk. Ed Alexander.
Bo, Christy, Simone.
It's the benefit of a holiday week. It's Friday already.
I got my flip-flops on, ready to go. Let's go. I'm on.
Ed's got his flip-flops on, his old jogging shorts from the 70s.
Oh, my gosh. Those really short, short jogging shorts?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whoa. I got my headband, my big hair. Here we go. Baby.
He is the man. You put that great picture. I think you did it, or maybe your wife did it.
Hmm.
It was because it was your daughter's birthday last week, right?
Yes.
It's the picture.
Oh, I did, yeah.
It's that picture, what, court's like, what, five in that thing?
Yeah, felt like that, five, six.
Now, you look amazing.
I was young once.
But your beautiful wife's 80s haircut.
She's got the 80s hair. Yeah. Dragging here and up there.
The next time I see her, that's all I'm talking about is that haircut. It is so awesome. It was a blast from my past,
right?
That haircut. You just look like a younger version of yourself. And she always looks great.
Yeah, but she's a lot younger than me, so she looks really good.
Her 10 years older than you will look a lot better than you.
You got that right. Back in the day, baby. Living a life. Well, we can still live the life, right? Let's do this. Let's go out and enjoy ourselves. Have some.
We got so much stuff to talk. So much stuff to talk about today. We're going to talk about, let's see, stuff. First and foremost, I'll give you an update on the Attorney General in Pima County thing. We'll talk about that.
Okay. I don't hear that anywhere.
And of course, it takes Dan Shearer to give you a little extra stuff that's missing from the narrative of some of the folks around here who practice journalism. So we'll talk about that. We will talk about, first of all, you got a heck of a show today.
Yeah.
It's International Hamburger Week. So we brought Ben from Divine back.
Yeah.
We got gift cards we're giving away for Divine Bovine. He will be here at 7. And one of the things I want to ask him is, how do we, at home, make a better burger? Now, we want to go to his house, go to his restaurant. But sometimes you're making burgers at home or whatever's going on. We're going to go to the guy. This guy's like a master.
Bam. Neck it up a notch, you know?
You are correct. We're going to talk about a story that will get me in trouble with most of Tucson, especially near the circle of self-righteousness. The U.S. coronavirus death toll is a minuscule 0.03% of the American population.
It's 100,000.
We'll talk about that. The top epidemiologist in Sweden says their COVID response wasn't unorthodox. It's the rest of the world that is. Because, of course, he's saying, we quarantined the sick. The rest of you people quarantine the healthy.
The healthy. That's how we do it now. The World Health Organization. Send them some more money.
We'll give you a little update from the Deuces press conference yesterday. We'll do that. We have Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform. We got to call him at 6:30-ish.
Okay.
Then Ben from Divine for Food Friday. Deb McEwen running for LD2 State House at 7:30. And then we got Major Mayhem in the third hour. And in that third hour, Professor Anne-Marie Knott from the Washington University in St. Louis will be live on the phone talking about her presentation of why you're not going to get COVID. And what's been amazing about all, when people have posted or reposted what I put in this town, mm-hmm. especially anyone near the circle of self-righteousness, right?
Grahava Gulch.
With the bishops of self-righteousness, like Dylan Blucheck and all these people, right?
I'm there.
She's not an epidemiologist. She's not a doctor. She says it all the time. She's not. She's taking the numbers that exist out there and just breaking them down.
Mm-hmm.
This is like... What happened to the
Bakersfield? It's the data.
What happened to the Bakersfield doctors? Remember those guys?
They had data.
What they do, kill those guys and throw them in a hole?
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard anything from them.
Google and Facebook took care of those people. They're gone.
What's great about the Bakersfield doctors, they just took the information coming from health departments across the country, and they extrapolated the data and looked at it, right, and did simple division, right? I had these jerks from the Circle of Self-Righteousness and a couple of doctors in my family go, oh, it's not peer-reviewed. It doesn't have to be. They didn't do any experiments, jackasses. All they were doing were looking at the data.
The numbers.
That you guys, these data and science that idiots like Rahina are saying they're shutting down your society over. So cut the crap.
Yeah.
Cut the crap, please. All right, what else we got here today? I'm so fired up. It's 6:11, for God's sakes. We got no strip club stories from K-Gun9. Sorry, guys. Oh, a tale of horror. The City of Tucson Council on how it's going to break down a $95 million coronavirus federal bonus cash. And when I saw a quote from Rahina that is so gold, as Kenny Banya said in Seinfeld, that's gold, Jerry. That's gold. And the council person who took the lead on the $95 million is freaking amazing. What else?
Social justice is not about anything. It's about social justice, people. You wait.
We're going to talk about Twitter Trump thing a little bit. We're going to talk about that.
They finally figured out the trigger. Trump's been on 80 years.
Yeah.
This is news. That's all he does is Twitter. So if you want to hear what he has to say,
They're cracking down on all the other things on Twitter whether they're racist, psychos, child prostitution services, whatever else is going on in social media. I hope they're cracking down on those.
Nah.
The deuce, we're going to talk about schools a little bit too before this is over. And the deuce man had this one. A reporter named Nicole, I don't know who Nicole works for, at this press conference says, Governor Ducey, according to FEMA, we didn't have the proper stats to get in to get through the gate to phase two on May, blah, blah, blah. And he shut her down.
Thank you.
I give the deuce crap. No,
yeah.
He goes, look, FEMA gives us equipment. CDC sets guidelines, not FEMA. So if you want to keep, he's like, stop asking misleading questions. You don't know what you're talking about. Let's move on with our lives.
Excellent. So thank you.
It was finally.
How many people does he consult with in the state alone every day, and then around the country every day, all the governors on calls. And then you've got some snotty-nosed reporter who wants to make a name for he or she, and they act like they know more than the people they're interviewing. Well, then just write your damn story because you don't want the facts anyhow. You just want to make yourself a scene.
Correct.
It's so dumb. You can tell as soon as they open their mouths. It's people, you got to call them out. You can't stand. You got to turn it off when you hear that stuff. You just got to turn it off and say, look, I don't believe these people. I'm not listening to this stuff. These reporters don't know anything. Okay? You think they do research? They put in the TV. They don't even have a cameraman. They carry their own damn cameras and microphones now. And they try to make a name for themselves so they can go someplace else. It's stupid. And they try to act like they're smarter than the president. They're smarter than the governor. You know, I'm not smarter than those. I don't give these people, in the face. Just do your job. Do some research.
And one last thing before we go to break. One of my favorite news moments yesterday.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yes.
It's this guy from MSNBC. Okay. His name is, let's see, what's his genius's name? The anchor, Ali Velshi.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's standing there saying, this is the riots in Minneapolis, right?
That's lead story, right?
Not generally. He says it's not generally speaking unruly, right? Now, Ed, I'm going to show you the picture of him when he says this. He says it's not generally unruly. What do you notice about the picture?
There's a big building on fire in the back. These people are stupid. If you want to make this the lead story in the country, which they are pushing every hour, I mean, we said if it leads, it bleeds. Bad news sells, so they've got to have things on fire to make news. It's a top of the hour for the last 4 days.
Who
woke up and made this the lead story?
Well, again, it's a horrible thing.
It's a horrible thing.
All right,
but in every hour, they're just smoking the fire. Why isn't there a riot? We need more riots.
It gives them something else to talk about that's not their general... For the last 6 months, right, it's been, the lead story is there's less jobs.
Right.
And the lead story is this sector of the economy is hurting because of coronavirus.
You know, they have to make new news.
Anyway, watching this guy while this building's on fire saying, well, it's not really unruly.
That's reporting.
Can't make it up. So what are you feeling like, tune-wise?
I don't even know this song, but it's on my list.
I don't...
Huh? This is off of your...
This I
would, one of your lists.
That's not off one of my lists. I would never put Dance by Rat.
Yeah? Dance, Dance, Dance by Rat.
Oh, do I?
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
All right. Are we going hair bands?
I don't know. All right. Whatever feels good.
Phil Bryson will be happy if you did hair bands. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Ed Alexander, Christy Simone, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. So it's great. Remember I asked you guys for a restaurant?
Yeah.
I did end up with the person I wanted to go that we went to. We ended up at Prep and Pastry on Campbell. And you could tell that... it was still a little light business wise. They had a lot of it was light enough business wise that we didn't get anything that complicated to eat, right? But we had four different people ask us like twice a piece, is everything okay? Because they just felt like they wanted to be customer service oriented. Okay. So God bless them.
Okay.
Yep. God bless them. But keep sending me restaurant. The Wakeys want to eat out in a dining room. This is human nature. We are not going to stop doing that because of Regina Romero and Ramon Valadez.
Because they won't let us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a listener went to wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com, and they did the Christy Simone, took a picture of their food, and he said, I almost forgot how nice it is to sit down and eat indoors. Him and his wife went to Guadalajara Grill on Prince.
Okay.
Which was open, and they had a nice meal. So keep giving us... places that you know are open for dining rooms all over Tucson. I want to know Marana, Oro Valley, Sarita, whatever you got. Let me know 790-2040. If you tell us, I'll start making a list and then I'll at least get it out there that people know. And maybe I'll put it on. You know, I have that Chris's favorites page on the DeSimone HQ website. Maybe I'll do a like these are the ones that we know have open dining rooms. So I'll give you some patio stuff from Tucson Foodie that they did. It's one of the. A good public service that those kids did over there. So the person I had lunch with yesterday is someone in the restaurant world. And we were talking about Pima County screwing over the restaurant owners. So what this person told me is on a Friday, the week before all this hit, that Friday... was the last meeting of this back-to-business restaurant council with, you know, Ramon, Chuck, someone from the health department, I think, was there, whoever, the restaurant people. I guess there was a chamber person there or two. Maybe Brent from Visit was there. This kind of thing, right? I just wanted everyone to know how much the county sucks and how much Ramon Valadez sucks. Is this member, this person who is in that meeting said when they left that meeting Friday, the understanding was best practices. It was a best practices guidelines for restaurants. So I said to this person, when did you find out that Pima County was now going to codify it and beat it over your head with a fine? And he said, well, someone told me Monday that it was on an agenda and they were going to codify and penalize. So this is the thing. This is tells you what a bunch of low-class folks at the county that I've been telling you for years, right? But just one more example. These business owners who are trying to survive were bullcrapped by the county, by Huckleberry, by Valadez, and all these people. They walked out of that meeting thinking, oh, we did a good thing. And then they have to find out that basically behind their back, Ramon, Sharon, Betty Villegas, Chuck, and the crew were going to codify it and slam it over their heads. Then there are these suggestions and there are things that they never even talked about. So again, what happened was now the thing that also pissed off this restaurant person is now the restaurant owners who had to fight to get half that crap out of there while they're trying to fight to save their businesses had to spend 6 hours last week waiting around a county board meeting to tell Betty, Sharon, Ramon, you guys have lost your mind. So what I keep telling you, for 11 years, we live in one of the most anti-business counties in the Southwest. Valadez, Bronson, and Villegas, and Chuck proved it again. Again, thank you. We want to thank you, restaurant owners, for being we're part of United States' first ever city of gastronomy. And now you come in there, the chamber folks bring you in there, and we're going to screw you. And we're going to dupe you and then screw you. And we're going to waste your precious time while you're trying to save your businesses. That is what's sick with these people. Just freaking sick.
They're running rampant. They're running wild, doing whatever the hell they want to do. Making up rules for people.
Look, Democrats, can I just get some new Democrats in there? Can we get rid of these people? I mean, Sharon and Ramon together have been there over 40 freaking years. Chuck's been there for 30 years or more. So if I take Chuck, Ramon, and Sharon, they have a cumulative amount of wasting our time of like 70 freaking years. Let's just keep putting the same jack wagons in. Let's go to the phones. Carl, good morning. You got some restaurants that are open for me, sir?
Well, a couple of things. The Donut Wheel on Ina is supposed to be opening the first week of June. And I checked on him, and he's redone his parking lot, and he was doing a deep cleaning, and you know, I'm kind of thinking he may have updated some stuff or whatever. But so it's, thank goodness, it's coming up. The Olay Grill on,
La Cholla.
La Cholla is open, and their food is just as good as ever. And everybody remembers the Tack Room, where they have 2-3 Michelin stars.
They were they were like a mobile five diamond.
Four or five, yeah.
Right, okay. I went down. And I had a meal at a local restaurant that, in a blind taste test, you would not be able to tell which kitchen it came out of, this restaurant or the Tack Room. And that restaurant was the Divine Bovine. Those sherried onions were to die for.
Mm.
Look at that. Those sherried onions are pretty amazing, aren't they?
That, you know, we were just completely amazed. I had the Huckleberry, and my wife had the bacon cheeseburger, and they were superb. They could have easily come out of a multi-star Michelin restaurant. You know, and I've eaten in some of those in Europe.
Wow.
And they were divine. They were, their food is superb. That's all I can say.
Look at that. And he'll be on in a half hour or so. He might be listening. He might be blushing right now with that review.
So, but anyway, yeah, things are beginning to open up. You know how I could tell when things were beginning to loosen up?
What's that?
I could walk into the Circle K, and they no longer had their donuts in single wrappers, and they had their food back on those roller things.
Oh, yummy. There you go.
Again, I know things are back. Like I said last week, was a jackass with a pickup truck on my rear end the entire way down La Cañada at 5:25 in the morning. So I knew, we're back.
There you go.
Carl, thanks for the good call, buddy.
You're welcome. We'll see you. Bye.
6:28 in the morning. At the Wake Up Tucson show. When we come back, we're going to have Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform, And he's part of this crew that's, you know, we're trying to open up and bring back America. And Grover takes no prisoners, as we know. So can't wait to talk to Grover. Remember, Professor Anne-Marie Knott from Washington University, St. Louis, on why you won't catch COVID-19. That is coming up at the third hour of Wake Up Tucson. So, and Alexander, thank God, some more rad. Here we go.
It's a heavy metal hair band Friday. That's what it is.
Listener Martin wants every Friday to be a hair band Friday.
We work on that.
6:35 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Ben from the Vine Bovine coming up top of the hour. And then Professor Anne-Marie Knott from Washington University, St. Louis, on why you're not going to catch COVID in the third hour, which is a great presentation that's online right now. But we're going to do it live for you over the miracle of technology, as we like to say. Let's go right to the phones. Americans for Tax Reform, Grover Norquist. Grover, welcome back to the show, sir.
Absolutely. Good to be with you.
I know we're going to talk about the gaffe machine known as Joe Biden, but how do we, you've been playing this game for a long time and working with some of these various public servants. What is the best way, now that we see how Corona, what the true numbers really is, and how we overreacted, what is the best expedient way to reopen this place up in a big picture way? That is it, because the only thing I can think of is everyone needs to sue their governor in a gross way who has them under lockdowns. What else you got for me?
Well, Michigan, the state think tank there, like the Goldwater Institute, the Michigan version of that,
right,
sued their governor because the governor said we're not going to allow operations that aren't emergencies, you know, and as soon as the lawsuit started, they backed down and said you can go in for operations that aren't emergencies, you know, essential to the government. How about to me? I think it's essential. I want it now. So those suits actually can get even, you know, a good or a bad or a lazy governor unfocused on some stupid thing that they've done to begin to back off because they don't want to go into court and have to defend stupid. They can get away with it on TV. They can't get away with it in court in the same way. But the good news is Americans for Tax Reform at our website, we have 570 different examples of where the federal, state, and local governments have backed off, ended, or suspended regulations that got in the way of getting people help. There are regulations against telemedicine, right? I mean, telephones were invented, I don't know, 100 years ago.
Right.
And we don't have laws that allow doctors to talk to you on the phone if you're, you know, in a rural area. Or what if the expert is somewhere else, you know, and billing and all this stuff? So, okay.
Is that something the doctor lobby put a kibosh on years ago to protect themselves?
Yes. One of the reasons we have all these rules is the doctor lobby, the guild, said nurses can't give people shots. Yes, they can. Well, we don't want them to. And, you know, nurse practitioners can do many of the things doctors do. But in about half the states, that's fine. They can do everything they train for. The other half of the states, the doctor lobby says, only if they pay a doctor to supervise them. Now, they can be in a different city. They just have to give the name of the doctor and make some financial arrangement with the doctor. And then the nurse can do all the things that the nurse knows how to do. This stuff is being knocked down, exposed. Some of it's going to take state legislation to fix. But, you know, your doctor's license in New York should not end when you drive into Vermont. They don't make you, when you drive with your driver's license from New York into Vermont, to get out and show them you know how to parallel park. They don't ask on your marriage license to get out and prove you still get along with your wife. You know, but they do say somehow you're not really a doctor in Vermont. Well, this is nonsense. This should end. And much of that stuff is happening. And we're making real progress. Europe's going the other way. I was just on one of those video conferences where the Americans were explaining all of the deregulation we had. I mean, the big breakthrough in this fight against COVID-19 was the CDC. You know, all the experts at the CDC, they're smarter than everybody else, and you're supposed to do what they say and shut up. They said, we will be the monopoly provider of testing. And after 6 months, when they couldn't do the test, they came up with one that didn't work. They then were forced to let, okay, the private sector can do this, universities can do this. You know, it's a lot of work, but there are many different structures in this country, CDC not being one of them, evidently, that can confidently make a test for COVID-19. when CDC got out of the way, that's when we started getting better. The FDA wanted to slow down all the use of new drugs and put also, and they said, you know what? Remember how you sped things up for AIDS? Do that, jerks. And the FDA got out of the way. I mean, what the federal government did mostly to help you was get out of the way. And all of those things slow down drugs that aren't necessarily, you know, ones that are on TV every night. But if you die of it, it kind of matters to you. When the FDA announced that we have a new drug, we're so cool, we finally approved this after 12 years, it'll save 5,000 people a year. And how many people died in the last 12 years while you thought about it? Okay? I mean, there is a cost to waiting. There is a cost to not acting, to not getting out of the way. They want you to look only, oh, look, this medicine is working. Yeah, it worked 2 years ago. It worked 12 years ago when it was invented. The vaccines, the Pfizer people told me about this, but I'm told there are five other companies and structures that have vaccines that they believe work for COVID-19. Pfizer says we are now making it, okay? We will be making it for the next 3-4 months while the FDA gets together and decides whether they think it works. We think it works, but the FDA has to say, mother may I, and bless it, and then everybody else can take it, take something that might save their life. But they said, we will have millions and millions and millions of doses ready when the FDA, they didn't say this, but gets their act in gear, when they said, when the FDA approves it, then we'll be ready. We're not going to then start to manufacture it. When the doctors, when the CDC people said, oh, we're a year and a half away from getting a vaccine, that's if you played by their playbook and didn't do anything to speed things up.
Well, all these eggheads have been blowing at Grover left and right, right? We're finding out they did modeling and ignored the fact, and that's what we're going to find out from this professor in the third hour, that they didn't even say it, put any code of, that there's a certain portion of Americans that are going to be immune to this thing, right? They took the immunity of the USS Teddy Roosevelt and the Diamond Princess and ignored it. That's how they came up with these catastrophic numbers. So here's a question for you. Okay, yeah. Go. You go.
Well, just the one thing I really think we need to do is say any model that is ever used to influence legislation or government policies has to be open for the whole world to look at, not peer reviewed, which means my three best friends promise they read my book and they blurb it. They haven't read the book. They like me. They said read the book. Okay. And so peer review is like those blurbs you read on novels. They're done by people who've never really read the novel, or they think exactly like the guy who designed the novel, the model. So they don't know any better. Open it up. The reason we found out that hockey stick on global warming was a lie was that somebody had, they wouldn't tell you what it was. They said, look, you put these numbers in, you get a hockey stick. Turns out random numbers put into that gave you a hockey stick, but they only found it out because some guy back engineered it, came up with it, and then exposed it as a fraud. Why did the U.S. government, when they were said, use this model, you have to do what we say or you all die, say, we'd like to look at the model, not we, you know, we'd like the world to be able to look in and see if it makes sense and ask the kind of questions you just asked about this the British model, which was wrong from the beginning.
And the peer review part was killing me. So we're just talking about those doctors out of Bakersfield, right? The guys who did that press conference and said, hey, we're just taking the data from New York, California, and saying, look, as we do more testing, we're finding out that many people actually are getting it or dying from it, and the percentage is going to be smaller and probably move it towards the flu range, right? And they killed those guys by saying they weren't peer reviewed. Well, they were just using data from everyone else. There is no peer review. They didn't do an experiment. They didn't stop. I mean, it's so – okay, so where I want to get to, and then I will go to –
peer review means the cool kids like it.
Right, thank you.
This is high school.
So if we could wave the magic wand and take the politics out of this public health crisis, when should America really be open, right? Because that's where we're at.
Well, they seem to say 6 feet away – and wear some sort of a mask does some help. Well, first of all, anything that falls into that category, whether it's essential or not, should be open. This idea that unessential things should be closed, first of all, who gets to make that decision? First of all, they decide abortions are essential and gun stores aren't and churches aren't. Geez, that sounds kind of political to me. It has nothing to do with a
well, and your elective virus. Your elective surgery to possibly save your life or extend it is less important than an abortion.
But and that, you know, you can have a part of the hospital that does surgeries and you can have a COVID section and the two don't have to mix. They lied when they gave us those dishonest models and said there's going to be this huge swell. And that's what we had to bring down. OK. And or they didn't mention that Obama and Biden did not replenish the stocks of the ventilators and the respirators and all of the masks and so on when they used them up at the beginning of their administration and didn't put into the budget to replace them for the last for their 8 years, okay? Or for the last 2 years, for that matter.
I didn't hear that on Joe and Mika. What's going on?
No, oddly enough, it wasn't on there. You have to go to a news station if you can find one to get that information. Those are the two. You know, we didn't have enough material, and there was going to be a swell. Well, the president went out, and we got enough material and respirators and so on. So many we're now sharing them with the rest of the world. And as soon as we hit one marker, the press loses all interest in that one. We don't have enough respirators. It's all Trump's fault, not Obama's fault for 8 years of ignoring it. It's all Trump's fault. Trump fixes Obama's problem, and now we don't care about that number anymore. And the other one was we were supposed to avoid this spike, which would overrun us. Well, there is no spike that would overrun us because we have enough material. Now, nobody will have happened to them what happened in Italy, right? In Italy, 100 people go in, they say, we have 50 respirators, 50 of you are going to die, the other ones may have a chance. Okay. That doesn't happen here because we had more than enough equipment, more than enough beds, and we were never close to being in trouble there. Having solved that problem of the overage, they then switched to stuff like, well, nobody's allowed to get it. Well, you always knew that as many people were going to get it as we're going to get it. The question is, because at some point somebody bumps into somebody over the next X number of years, that you didn't want it to all happen at once. We avoided that, at which point they should go away. And people should just take regular precautions against getting it. And the other one is, do surround vulnerable populations in old folks' homes, in nursing homes, and you have to get, you know, your hands scrubbed and everything to go in, and the people who work there and go home have to have super protection. But instead, you had the governor in Minnesota who killed more people than any of the police did up there by putting diseased people into old folks' homes knowingly. And the same thing with New Jersey and New York in the thousands. This is a crisis of the New York transit system and governors putting people with the disease in old folks' homes because they didn't want them in hospitals or something, or they didn't want to be prejudiced against people with diseases. And that's where it spread. So instead of protecting those areas from people coming in with the disease and keeping those isolated, they told everybody else, including, you know, people under 25 for whom the chances of getting sick is very low and the chances of dying is extremely low, lower than every other risk that you worry about in life. The politicians messed this up, and you know, if Trump made any errors, it was in listening to Fauci and those guys with their model.
Correct.
Without saying, is that model up for inspection by everyone? Not that five people agreed that they liked it.
Okay? He backed off the Easter date, and that's the other one, because he was right on the Easter date, because we knew by that point that we were not going to quote flattening the curve, and we could have said we're ready to go in another week or so after Easter. That's what we should have done.
Yeah, given all of the attacks on him, where nobody mentions that Biden didn't replace the material, people tend not to mention that the models that Fauci was, you know, pointing to as expert, okay, he was the guy who should have known enough to know that no model like that is perfect, and you want 1,000 eyes on it, not a handful. And when we started asking, could we look at your assumptions, and they said no, that's when you knew there was a problem. No, you can't look at how I came up with that number. That's the guy who knows he's lying.
We're talking to Grover Norquist, President and CEO of Americans for Tax Reform. I know we want to talk Biden. So here's my question. Before we get to Biden's goofy ideas, do you think he's actually going to be the candidate? I don't think he's going to be the candidate.
The left has the perfect candidate in Biden. He is an empty vessel. He started as sort of a segregationist out of very rural, you know, Delaware, against school busing and wanting those kids coming into my schools and stuff like that, because that's what was popular then in the Democratic Party. It was a big thing. They like to pretend they don't remember that part of the Democratic Party. Oh, but it lasted, I don't know, 150 years. And then he switched to become, as he said when he announced this time, I'm the most progressive guy running. That was when Bernie and the $400,000 course lady,
Liz Warren,
were both running. He said, I'm the most progressive guy running. When Obama endorsed him, he said, this is the most progressive guy running ever in any major party as a major party candidate. Now, what he meant was, he's not as far to the left as Gus Hall, who used to run for the Communist Party for years after years. But I don't know. So, something a little bit odd about the fact that Obama knew the history of who were more radical than the Democrats running. Most people don't think of them when they talk about candidates running for president. He did. But Biden has promised every fringe power center of the left. The teachers union, he promised to crush charter schools. If your kids go to one of the 3 million kids who go to charter schools, your kid is going to have to find a new school because Biden has promised the teachers union he'll use the power of the federal government to crush them. He has promised to do in independent contractors and people who work self-employed and work for many different companies or write articles for many different publications. He has promised organized labor to get rid of right to work. Arizona would no longer be able to be a right to work state to pass the federal law to end that. He has promised to take $3.4 trillion more from the American people next decade. He wants to raise taxes by $3.4 trillion over the next decade. And by the way, Hillary, by comparison, when she ran, you know, big left wing Hillary in 2016, she only threatened a $1 trillion tax hike, $1 trillion. Biden, $3.4 trillion tax hike. He promises to abolish the Trump Republican tax cut, which means it will cut in half your per-child tax credit, cut in half. Your standard deduction will be cut in half. The alternative minimum tax, if you've ever in your life gotten tied up in that, that's coming back.
That's a nightmare, that thing.
By the Republicans. He will raise the business tax in the United States to where it is higher than communist China's. We used to be at 35 under Obama and Biden. We took it down to 21. China's at 25. He wants to take it back up to 35 by abolishing the whole time. Once he said 28, but about 10 times he said 35. So you guess as to which one he wants. But either way, higher than China. So any investor in the world saying, should I invest in the United States or China, including an American, by the way, that would say, well, if I invest in China, they steal less of my money than the federal government would under under Biden.
All right,
that's
sir.
How crazy he is.
Well, thanks for your time as always, Grover. And like I said, I think he's going to resign before the convention, but he's quite a mess.
They've never had anyone in there such in their control of the party structures. I think they love running him. And the press will promise to get him across the finish line as an empty vehicle. They let him sit in the basement and hide and don't complain about that.
That's true.
Imagine if somebody, if a Republican candidate did that, they'd be wondering if what was wrong with his gallbladder or something.
Grover, thanks for the time as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
There he is, Grover Norquist, President of Americans for Tax Reform. Ed Alexander is going to spin us away, and we got Divine Bovine coming up at the top of the hour. It's International Hamburger Week. That's how we're going to celebrate our Food Friday. Deb McEwen, LD2 in the 7:30-ish hour. Ed Alexander, Christy Simone, it's a Hair Metal Friday. Wake up.
Oh, I don't have you on. I'm sorry.
I can't believe I remember the name of the vocal, the seed lead singer for Quiet Riot.
You have a good brain. What's up?
The great Kevin DeBrow.
Okay.
That was his name. So
you know a lot of stuff.
So I did put it up on Facebook, the requests for hair metal songs.
Oh, good.
To give an outlet to, of course, Phil.
Yeah. A couple of people in this world, yeah. And Martin, I'm sure. I know who Martin is, but I'm sure Martin is on that list. So look, you guys can do your stuff online and make yourself a playlist for the weekend.
Christopher DeSimone. Of course, our three contributors, heavy contributors, are Phil, Noah, and Neely. Neely's calling for Pat Boone, Enter Sandman. So let's get to, we only got like a minute or so. We went a little long with Grover Norquist. So let's get into, I don't think anything that great today on this day in music. That's one of the reasons we're doing hair metal today. Chubby Checker won a Grammy Award for Let's Twist Again, believe it or not. Chubby Checker, one of the greatest Wake Up Tucson guests, who entered, who started our conversation when we said, "Hey, Chubby, welcome to Wake Up Tucson." And all he said was, "Sexy, sexy, sexy." Thank you very much. And then let's get to holidays today. We have, it's Paperclip Day. I assume we're still using these things. National Biscuit Day. This is perfect for Tucson. Learn about Composting Day. Come on, bro. It's European Neighbors Day. End of the Middle Ages Day. Wow. It's considered to be the date that the Middle Ages ended, believe it or not. Wow. Ah, it's because when Constantinople fell to the Ottomans, that's considered in 1453 the end of the Middle Ages. I did not know that. And then for you cooks, it's Coq au Vin Day, or rooster in wine.
What?
A French dish of chicken braised with wine, mushrooms, and optionally garlic. A red Burgundy wine is typically used, though many regions of France make variants using local wines. So I hear Ben with our hamburgers at the door. I got to get the hell out of here. Divine Bovine, International Burger Week continues.